For our scripture lesson this morning, we're going to be reading from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 24, verses 1 through 12. And then I'll turn to Romans chapter 4. We'll be reading just the very end of chapter 4, verse 25. But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they went to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared. And they found a stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they went in, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were perplexed about this, behold, two men stood by them in dazzling apparel. And as they were frightened and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee, that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and on the third day rise." And they remembered his words, and returning from the tomb, they told all of these things to the 11 and to the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary the mother of James and the other women with them who told these things to the apostles. But these words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them. But Peter rose and ran to the tomb. Stooping and looking in, he saw the linen cloths by themselves. And he went home, marveling at what had happened. As we turn to the book of Romans, chapter 4. It will be counted to us who believe in him who raised from the dead Jesus our Lord, who was delivered up for our trespasses, and raised for our justification. It's Easter morning. And Easter is, for me, one of my favorite holidays. It's not one of. It is my favorite holiday. And I think it's because of the purity of the holiday itself. I know we've had Lent for the last 40 days leading up to this day. And I know we've had Holy Week, the last 7 days here, building up to this morning. But unlike Easter, or unlike Christmas, we don't have a lot of the hype and hysteria that comes with all of the shopping days and all of the pressure and all of the stuff that's going on. This is a holy day. And yes, there is all the other trappings that come with it. There's the eggs dying, hiding, filling with candy and all of that sort of thing. There's the family gatherings, the fancy dresses, the big dinner. All of those are wonderful things. Family getting together and celebrating one another. It's the first of spring. It's here upon us. Finally, we can go out and not have to have 6 layers on to enjoy being outside. I think it's just dawned on me the last couple of years, maybe since I've started paying more attention to basketball, that it also coincides with, you know, the Final Four and the championship game. And so it's all of this excitement in the season. But Easter is so much more than that. We could get rid of all of the other stuff, and if we still had this morning where we can gather in worship to celebrate a risen Savior, that would be enough. Because that is the very heart, the very essence of the Christian message. Without today, we wouldn't be here. In fact, we shouldn't be here if the resurrection doesn't happen. I read it at the very beginning in sort of the call to worship. But Paul says in Corinthians, when he's arguing with the people who denied the resurrection, he's arguing with them and saying, if Christ hasn't been raised, then our preaching is in vain and your faith is in vain. We're even misrepresenting God because we say that God raised Christ from the dead. If he hasn't been raised, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins were it not for the resurrection. And we are most to be pitied. But Christ has been raised from the dead. Hallelujah. The first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. Amen. Death has lost its sting. Thanks be to God who gives us this victory in our Lord Jesus Christ. That is what we celebrate today. And all of this Easter celebration, all of this resurrection message gives glory to God. All power, grace, and glory belong to God, and we see it today. For on today, God demonstrated his power when he brought forth his Son from the dead, exalting in power over death and over sin. On this day, when Christ raised from the dead, God demonstrated his sovereign grace, for he had called a people to be his own, and he promised that he would be the foundation of that covenant, and then he kept that covenant and was gracious in the resurrection. And all glory and praise and honor are given to God through the resurrection of Christ our Savior. This is a day in which we worship the risen Lord. But this is also a day that is also essentially for you. This day was given as a gift for each and every one of you. It is a day that is set aside to give glory to God through Jesus Christ. But as we give glory to God for the risen Lord gives us every imaginable spiritual blessing that we could ever conceive of because he is alive. All of this day and everything it entails is for you. Friends, he was born for you. When you read through the Gospels and read the different birth narratives, Matthew 1:21, we are told, "You shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." He was born and named to be our Savior. When the angels proclaim the birth of Christ in the Gospel of Luke, they say, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord." And while John doesn't have a birth narrative, there is Jesus talking about his own reason for being when he says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he sent me. He gave his only begotten Son so that whoever would believe in me would not die but have everlasting life." He came for you. Romans 5:8, Paul says that God shows his love for us and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He came for you. He came for you. He was born for you. And he suffered for you. Hebrews 4, we read about Jesus being the great high priest who can sympathize with us in every way because he was tempted as we are, yet he was without sin. He was humbled. He came to be the son of a carpenter, poor, oppressed, despised, rejected. He knew what hunger and pain and loss were. He knew the experience of our life and the trials and temptations, the pilgrimage of our faith. And I would imagine it was even a greater struggle for him because he left the throne of glory to become as one of us. And he did this for you. He was born for you. He suffered for you. He died for you. We were fallen in our sin. We deserved God's wrath and judgment, but Christ willingly took that upon himself upon the cross. What we read this morning in Romans, he was delivered up for our trespasses. In 1 Peter, we read, "He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree that we might die to sin and live to righteousness." Hebrews 10, we read that when Christ had offered for all time a single sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God. For by a single offering, he perfected for all time those who are being sanctified. He made the perfect sacrifice for our sins that the centuries of sacrifices had only foreshadowed. He died for you upon the cross. The nails that were meant for your hands, the spear that was meant for your side, the thorns that were meant for your brow, the cross that was meant for your death, the wrath of God for your sin, he took upon himself. He was born for you, he suffered for you, he died for you, and he was raised for you. Not only was he delivered up for our trespasses, he was also raised up for our justification, so that everyone who places their faith in Christ is made alive in him. And God looks upon the righteousness of Christ and counts us righteous too, because we are clothed in him. You see, our lives by faith are so united to his resurrected life that we are counted alive to God and just in his eyes. Paul says in Galatians 2, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live, I live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. He died for you. He was raised for you. And my friends, he reigns for you. He sits in authority over all, and nothing can come my way that he has not prepared for my good and for his glory. The world may reject Christ as king, but he still sits in authority over the world, and all things will be laid down at his feet. The Heidelberg Catechism teaches us right out of the gates this essential comfort and truth that I am not my own, but I belong with body and soul, both in life and in death, to my faithful Savior Jesus Christ. He has paid for my sins with his precious blood and has set me free from the power of the devil. He also preserves me in such a way, listen to this, that without the will of my heavenly Father, not a hair can fall from my head. Indeed, all things must work together for my salvation. This is his sovereign reign over you. He was born for you. He suffered for you. He died for you. He was raised for you. He reigns for you. And friends, he is coming back for you. He hasn't left you. Except that he goes to prepare a place for you so that where he is now, he may take you to be with him. And as he is there in heaven, he has given his Spirit so that he can say, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. And we know that one day the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the voice of an archangel, with the sound of the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and we will always be with the Lord. This is for you. Amen? You could offer me $1 million right now, and I wouldn't take it to exchange the gift that Christ has given, because it is beyond all value, beyond all worth. It is everything. And everything that we do in this life is in response to what he has done for us in being raised for us. We trust and believe because of what he has done. The empty tomb and the barren cross stands for us as a firm and certain reminder that he has paid the price and set us free, and he reigns and rules over us, and so we can trust him even in the most uncertain times, when we don't know what tomorrow brings, when we don't know what the election will look like, when we don't know where we're going to make ends meet. We can trust God because he has proven himself over and over again. We can listen and obey because of what he has done. He has proven himself worthy of honor and worthy of our obedience, and so we will live a life that reflects his teaching, that follows his ways. We will try to be faithful followers of Christ, trusting in his grace and mercy each and every day. Everything we do is in response to what he has done for us. So knowing what he has done, my friends, what will you do? Will the resurrection mean the same thing for you tomorrow as it does today? Will you live differently knowing that Jesus is alive and that he brings to you life from death? Will you be in church next Sunday singing the resurrection and praise and glory to God? Or a month from now, where will you be in your walk with Christ because of today? Will you give your life to him? Put your faith and trust in him? Because, my friends, this day is for you. Amen.